A gazelle sprints across the savanna, cheetah closing in. Teeth nearly grazing its flank, the gazelle makes a final desperate leap and escapes. What happens next reveals everything about trauma. The gazelle doesn't run home to tell its friends about the near-death experience. It doesn't develop a fear of open spaces or have nightmares about predators. Instead, it stops, trembles violently for a few minutes, then calmly returns to grazing as if nothing happened. That trembling, it's not weakness, it's wisdom. The gazelle is discharging the massive surge of survival energy that flooded its system during the chase. This natural completion is what we humans have forgotten how to do. We experience the same biological activation when threatened, but our complex minds interrupt the process. We tell ourselves to be strong, to get over it, to stop shaking or crying. And in doing so, we trap survival energy in our bodies, energy that was meant to be released. This trapped energy becomes trauma, not because we're broken, but because we've disconnected from an ancient wisdom our bodies still carry. Everyone knows fight or flight, but freeze is the third response that unlocks trauma. When caught by a predator, a mouse goes completely still, an involuntary survival mechanism that might make predators lose interest or provide one last escape chance. Humans freeze too, but our sophisticated brains often trap us in that frozen state long after danger passes. Consider a car accident. Your body mobilizes enormous protective energy, muscles tense, hands grip, breath catches. But the crash interrupts these responses before they complete. That incomplete response remains locked in your nervous system, waiting for resolution. This explains trauma's apparent irrationality. Someone might handle a crisis with calm, only to fall apart weeks later. Their conscious mind coped, but their nervous system froze beneath the surface. Trauma's intensity isn't about the event itself, but whether your body completed its protective responses. One person walks away from a major accident unscathed, while another develops severe symptoms from a minor fender bender. The difference lies in how completely their nervous system processed the experience. Close your eyes and notice what you feel inside. Not thoughts or emotions, but raw sensations. Breath quality, tension, temperature, movement. This is your felt sense, your doorway to healing. Trauma lives in these sensations. The racing heart, tense shoulders, shallow breath, communications from a nervous system trying to complete something interrupted. Nancy suffered panic attacks for years. During therapy, a tiger image arose. Her therapist asked, "What does your body want to do?" She felt an impulse to run. As she allowed that movement to flow through her, sensing without acting, she began trembling. That trembling, like a gazelle's post-escape shaking, discharged trapped energy. Her panic attacks subsided. This differs radically from traditional therapy. No excavating memories or constructing narratives. The body knows what it needs to complete. Our job is simply to listen and allow. The felt sense guides this through titration, approaching activation in small doses, creating a rhythm that gradually processes what was once overwhelming. Trauma creates a self-perpetuating cycle. The nervous system perceives danger where none exists, triggering survival responses that reinforce threat perception. Hypervigilance burns energy and prevents rest. The resulting exhaustion becomes another stressor, feeding the cycle. Mrs. Thayer experienced panic attacks whenever cold air touched her face. Through body-centered work, she discovered the sensation was coupled with a childhood memory of being trapped in a freezer. Decades later, her body still responded to cold air as if she were suffocating. This coupling of neutral stimuli with trauma responses creates a minefield of triggers. A combat veteran panics at a car backfiring. A sexual assault survivor feels terror when touched in certain ways. These aren't psychological overreactions. They're instantaneous bodily responses bypassing rational thought. Even more mysterious is reenactment. Trauma survivors often unconsciously recreate situations mirroring their original trauma. Someone abused as a child repeatedly enters abusive relationships. This isn't masochism. It's the nervous system's unconscious attempt to resolve the original trauma. Breaking this cycle requires a physiological shift, allowing the body to complete its thwarted responses in a safe context, not through reliving trauma, but through carefully approaching associated sensations while maintaining connection to safety and resources. Healing trauma doesn't require remembering exact details. During extreme threat, stress hormones inhibit the hippocampus, the brain region creating coherent memories, while the amygdala, processing emotional significance, stays highly active. The result? Powerful emotional and sensory imprints without clear narrative context. Survivors remember fragments, the smell of diesel fuel, fabric texture, heart pounding, without a coherent story. Margaret suffered chronic pain for years. During a session, staying with sensations in her chest, an image emerged, being a terrified child unable to breathe. Her therapist asked what her body wanted to do. As she allowed the impulse to push away and protect herself, actions unavailable during the original experience, her breathing deepened and pain began subsiding. This understanding liberates trauma healing from perfect recall. What matters isn't reconstructing exact accounts, but resolving physiological patterns keeping trauma alive. Your body remembers what your mind may not, and it's in the body that trauma must ultimately be resolved. Trauma ripples through families, communities, and entire societies, with each generation unconsciously inheriting unresolved wounds. Dr. James Prescott's cross-cultural research reveals that societies promoting physical affection and secure infant bonding show significantly lower violence rates. Early attachment creates nervous systems capable of self-regulation. Some indigenous cultures demonstrate forgotten alternatives. Traditional Eskimo communities resolved conflicts through singing duels other than combat, channeling aggression into creative expression while preserving social bonds. Collective healing mirrors individual recovery, creating safety, expressing historical wounds, and completing thwarted protective responses at a community level. True reconciliation requires more than treaties. It demands somatic processes, allowing collective nervous systems to return to regulation. Each person resolving their trauma contributes to collective healing, breaking intergenerational cycles that extend far beyond individual experience. Trauma isn't a life sentence. Your body already knows how to heal. It's been trying to complete those interrupted survival responses all along. The symptoms that trouble you aren't signs of brokenness, but evidence of life force still moving, still seeking resolution. Healing begins when you stop fighting your symptoms and start listening to what they're trying to complete. It happens in small moments, noticing the sensation in your chest, allowing the impulse to push away, feeling the trembling that wants to move through. These aren't dramatic breakthroughs, but quiet completions, the body finally finishing what it started. The tiger within you, that wild, instinctual nature we've been taught to suppress, isn't your enemy. It's your ally, offering the very energy and vitality that trauma once threatened to steal. The next time you feel that familiar surge of anxiety, pause, breathe. Ask your body what it needs to complete. Listen to the sensations without judgment. Allow the trembling, the tears, the movements that want to emerge. This is your birthright, the ancient wisdom of healing that every creature carries.